Ladies and gentlemen, what is up? It is I, John. That is Britz. I'm the nerdy. She's the beautiful. And welcome back to another Self-Centered Podcast episode. Today we are on the subject of video games. But this is actually the first subject list one in, my goodness,
a while.
I think the last time we did a subject list subject, which means not looking at any specific book, movie, TV show, video game, etc., was the Is Streaming Services Killing Cartoons episode. Now, obviously, this one is kind of like that in a way, but for video games.
Mm-hmm.
I have got a list of 24 different game genres, and me and Britt are going to discuss, and this is probably going to be a slightly longer episode, what we think is the easiest thing to screw up in each one that makes most bad versions of each of these bad. What makes them tick? Starting right from the beginning of video games, and honestly, pre-video games, RPGs were already a thing. Of course, we had your Dungeons and Dragons, your chainmails, and all sorts of wartime strategy. Strategy games we'll talk about later, but let's talk about RPGs. Honestly, this answer that we've got is a little different from the rest, where it's actually got an evolving problem. Back in the day, it's about generic everything. Fantasy is incredibly generic. RPG systems that, you know, have poor XP calculations and stuff like that.
Right.
That's where I think it's a problem. So I'm going to list this one as balance. Sadly, going into it would take way too long as to what that means, but just the general concept of how the abilities work, if they're overpowered, underpowered. There's about a million things I could say RPGs could go wrong with. That's why if you're an RPG developer, I tip my hat to you, as it's a very oversaturated genre. Now, I'm going to go off on a tangent and say that we're not going to talk about adventure RPGs until we get to the adventure stuff, but honestly, I'll touch on RPG again when we get there. Stuff like Skyrim will be discussed under the adventure games.
I didn't really have much to say about this one.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next one. Sports. Neither of us are sports people, but I can tell you this much. Weirdly, this one has the same problem as RPGs. Bad plays, bad stats for the players. So once again, balance is the thing. Remember, we're not going to do controls as a problem, because all of these can have problems with controls.
Right.
Like, any video game can break over controls, but some of them more than others, and honestly, there is bad controls you can adapt to. I do solidly believe. But there are a couple where you can't do that, so we'll see examples of that a bit later. Sadly, because I just talked about the more, like, deep version of the sports problem in RPGs, we're going to move on. Racing games, first person or otherwise, we're only covering racing once.
And I to love be me some honest, good racing games.
Just the grip and tactile feel of racing. How much does it feel like a car? You know,
right.
I mean, me and you have both at least tried to drive, so we know what it's supposed to feel like.
My problem is sometimes you, like, hit the railing because of the, like, way it moves.
Yeah, so that's your problem with games and stuff is, like, GTA, I think, has this problem the most. Like, I'll admit, I do like the driving in GTA, but in earlier iterations of the 3D ones.
Yeah.
The problem shines that it's really hard to keep in the legal way of driving.
So, like, on the part of the road you're supposed to be on.
Yeah, like, if you try to drive legally in GTA, which is actually a stream I wanted to do someday.
Right.
Let me tell you, even in GTA 5 and probably even the upcoming 6, it's difficult.
Dang.
But it's because you're really meant to be driving fast, you know.
Yeah.
They don't get you for any traffic violations, or else you would literally be getting in trouble every 5 seconds.
Right.
So GTA I can give a pass, but racing, all the problems above apply and are very difficult to implement.
Right.
Again, love to every kind of developer that we talk about today. This is not really about, you know, bad video games or good or bad methods. It's about what to be aware of if you're making a game.
Right.
Real-time strategy, RTS. This includes things such as StarCraft.
Would it include things like Sid Meier's Civilization?
You could say that's definitely real-time strategy. It's a strategy game. Because I'm looking at a list of genres off Google, there are 24 of them, like I said.
Right.
If strategy comes up again, we're not going to cover it again. But I'll tell you the main problem any real-time strategy or strategy game can have. I'll tell you from an outsider like myself and from an insider like myself, because I've tried and tried and tried. Mm-hmm. I can see why people love strategy games. The problem is actually when you get into keyboard commands and stuff.
Right.
If it's really hard to learn or you don't have keyboard commands to jump to other spots on the map. Like if StarCraft did not have the ability to jump over, that game would not work.
Right.
You would die once you get past the basic couple of levels. And honestly, I have seen bad strategy. Believe it or not, I have tried random offshoots of like some of the big ones, see if I could find something no one's ever heard of, maybe that I could like. That is a big problem. And we move on.
Right.
So, adventure games. We're going to be talking about adventure RPGs, and we're also weirdly going to be talking about the multiple choice point and click adventure games. Just because I want them here, I don't know. If, you know.
I have a big problem with adventure games.
Adventure games like Skyrim. Skyrim and stuff like that has problems of interesting side questing and dialogue. Me and a buddy have gone on and on about this during multiple streams, but to break it down as far as I think it can physically go, NPCs need more interesting dialogue, even if it's not quite helpful.
That's what I was about to say.
And
if it's not interesting enough, it don't pull the attention.
Yeah, it either needs to be functional or fun.
Right.
And that is the main problem I will have. All the RPG stuff applies here, obviously, because Skyrim's still an RPG. But it's just that added single problem. Can make or break a game, and Skyrim, if you ask me, was the first to ever not have that problem to a point where it is unplayable. It is a grand RPG that all should actually strive to be.
Right, I agree.
However, point-and-click adventures, these ones have the most definable problem of all of them. First of all, this is a very niche genre. A lot of people don't even talk about these anymore.
I'm not even sure what the point and click are.
So, you would remember them more from edutainment. They're games where you click over on stuff. Think of your...
So, is it like the Aladdin one that's on the DVD?
Not really. Those are DVD games, but in edutainment games, you'll see stuff like Humongous Entertainment. You know, the Spy Fox ones, the little purple car. You click around on things and make them interact.
Yeah, I know what you're
talking
about. And
you use those to solve static problems. That is the most boiled down I can do, point and clicks. But a lot of them are a lot of fun. Where the problem is clarity and being able to miss important items that can make you completely start the game over. These are hours long, the puzzles can take forever. But that's actually a slow burn game style that people love. The problem with it, like I said, is when you can miss things.
Right.
Remember, keep it simple, stupid. KISS. That is what you do with this genre. Make it not obvious, but you've got to make it to where we feel clever for solving these things. When you solve a puzzle, It's not going to be like, oh, the door opens. It's going to be, ooh, I just solved that puzzle. I feel smart. You know, it's supposed to make you feel smart. If it doesn't, then it's just wasting your time. Kids point-and-click games can do that a lot, but you got to give them a pass because they're supposed to be for kids to feel smart. Adults are probably just going to be entertained if they are playing Spy Fox and other stuff like that. Third-person shooters. It refers here as shooter, and we see first-person later on, so we're just going to cover third-person here. Third-person shooters, aiming. Aiming.
I don't like the aiming in a third-person shooter game.
It's very difficult to make it feel correct, but if you're a first-person shooter player like her, it will never feel right. That is one thing I can say. If you like both, have some patience, learn each game individually. And to be honest, that's kind of what makes third-person shooters so much worse to play.
Yeah.
I am not against first and third-person shooters. I hate third-person for a pretty fair point that I'm already bad at first-person shooters that I like to play. Why would I make it harder on myself by trying to learn another style?
Right.
Games like Metal Gear Solid are under the stealth game genre, and honestly, stealth games have but one problem I can even muster. Among the obvious controls, which this is the first one where controls can really, really break the game in a way that is unplayable.
No, I've never played a stealth game. I don't know.
So, think about it this way. Stealth games are technically third-person shooters.
Oh.
But it is not about killing your opponent. It is about staying alive and sneaking through the whole game. You don't want to brute force these games. So imagine why this is the first one where controls are being mentioned specifically is because putting a toe out of line in the wrong place, boom, you're dead. You're done. That's it. That and AI of the enemies, if it's badly programmed, AI can pretty much split these in half as well. Either from being unplayably easy, where they just never see you, or unplayably difficult to the point where they see you all the damn time. You gotta strike that balance. Balance is always a key factor, just like control, but like with controls, it's not worth mentioning every single time. Battle Royale games.
Now this one I know a little bit about because of Call of Duty. They have a Battle Royale part of it.
Yeah. Of course you got, you know, Fortnites and stuff like that. To be honest, these ones have the same problem for me as third-person shooters, because Fortnite is a third-person. They can be first or third, though. Unlike, you know, third-person shooters.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It can be either. Almost all the problems from stealth shooter and FPS later on will apply to Battle Royale games. See the first-person shooters section. But the main problem with the mechanic itself, which is the biggest difference to make a Battle Royale game, is how the actual online fares.
Right.
How good are the servers you connect to? To be honest, that's it. That's the only thing that is individually a problem with Battle Royale games. But it's one that can make it not just unplayable, but you couldn't even start the game.
Right.
If it's bad enough. So, user beware. You choose the scare. Action games. My goodness. I'm going to include beat-em-ups, as I don't think they're on this list. Action games include your Serious Sams. It includes quick action shooters. You know, the ones where you're going a mile a minute. You better be pretty dang ready. Yeah, Doom is an action shooter, if you ask me. Very arcadey style, with a big game built around it. Action games have a problem with speed. Speed, speed. Controls, obviously. But honestly, you can't really call it action if it doesn't have a lot of action.
Right.
So speed and action are the main action points. That is the only thing I can say about it, sadly. This is not one I care to elaborate on because it's pretty obvious what I mean. Yeah. As for the beat-em-ups, let me tell you something. Beat-em-ups are always fun, broken controls or not, but always play with a player too, because obviously these are action-y games, so I'm calling them action games. That's specifically something where they can be the most boring thing ever. You're just mashing A, but honestly, with a second person, they go from about a 1 out of 10 to a 7 out of 10 for practically any of them. Like, you know how you'll have a game where two people are going around an environment beating the crap out of smaller enemies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is a beat-em-up. And that is the problem with them. Fighting games.
Ooh, now we're at the one I was waiting for because Mortal Kombat.
Now, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, Tekken, all of your favorites. Smash Brothers is not a fighting game. It is a partying game. But I'll include a quick talk about Smash here, too.
Right.
Just because it is so different from any other games that it has its own problem.
Yeah.
Honestly, let's start at a standard Street Fighter slash Tekken slash, you know, Mortal Kombat. Those kind of problems all come down to controls. Controls in a fighting game are the second most important control issue that we're going to talk about today. I think everyone knows where the number one spot will go to with controls being able to break a video game. And if you haven't guessed by now, I have no idea what to tell you. Fighting games are all about the control. If you watch some competitive fighters, you're going to see that these people are pulling off perfect combos almost every time.
Right.
But because of the way fighting games are always programmed, button mashing should be punishable.
Right.
Sadly, this is something where it wouldn't be very easy to pull off really good combos, but honestly, that button mashing can make anyone win if you're just careful enough and just do it.
Right.
You know, I don't love the idea of button mashing.
I love actually learning the moves and just like fighting and, you know, fighting it without having to do all that.
Yeah. Like forward, back kick, you know, all your forward, back kicks, all of the special moves and, you know,
your basic moves, you know?
How to perform each move is delicate. You've got to be quick. This is what I would call a cheat code fighting style. You know, the cheat codes that you would normally put in on a normal game has to be put in at a top speed here to be competitive. And it's just unfathomably fun to get them right. The first time you pull one of the hardest moves or combos in Tekken is feeling amazing. Street Fighter the same. Mortal Kombat, freaking excellent on those fatalities. Problem with Smash Brothers time. Let me tell you something. Balance. Balance, balance, balance. Every character, I think, has some form of potential. We have seen odd times where champions will go out of their way to use something previously thought unusable. So, even though it rarely happens because Smash Brothers games are typically pretty well balanced, there's a couple of them that did not do that very well. God rest you, Smash Brothers Brawl. I still love you to death, but that tripping's gotta go.
Yeah.
I hate the trip mechanics. I will not speak of them here, as they are not allowed in this house.
Why not?
If you played with them, you'd understand, but for a quick rundown, just because I feel like I do want to explain it. In the game, your character can randomly trip. It makes them defenseless. You can't get up. And in a fighting party game, I think you can see a problem with that. That practically gives control over your opponent no matter how well you're doing. So I hate it. And so does the community. But to be fair, Smash Brothers did have the Subspace Emissary. Moving on. Love ya. Subspace Emissary is the best. Sandbox games. Honestly, not a lot to say.
Right?
It's a make-your-own game style game. The endless games of Minecraft. The endless games of Universe Sandbox. You know what the problem is with some of them? Content. Give us lots to do like in Minecraft.
Right.
You have to be able to make your own fun in sandbox games.
Mm-hmm.
Give us solid tools to do it. Give us a creative mode. Give us a survival. Mm-hmm. Give us this. Give us that. I hate to say that Minecraft is up on top for doing it all right, but it is.
I mean, it
that's what it is. And being able to make our own content that we can share with others. Not being able to do that sucks too.
Right.
Gmod is another good sandbox game, and it's got one of the most infamous modding scenes of all time. Anything can be done. Role-playing and experimenting, inventing. These are the marks of a truly amazing sandbox game, and I love them. Survival horror. Look, slower puzzle elements are great in survival horror, but if you overcomplicate the puzzles, you're already screwing it up.
Right.
Honestly,
people don't want to play it.
The monster can be unterrifying as long as the game plays correctly. Horror games don't even have to be horror games. They can be fun. Just make them engaging. I have seen so many indie horror rely on jump scares. There is number one problem. I like psychological. I am not a jump scare guy. I do not get jump scared very easily. And the few times you will see me get jump scared, it will be because the tension is so thick in the air that one more thing will set me off. That's the kind I like.
Right.
And that is the biggest problem. So many use jump scares. I'm sick to death of it. Massively multiplayer online, and we're going to group the next one with it, multiplayer online battle. All of those that have leveling systems, which is practically all of them, including RPGs. All RPG stuff applies to MMOs, but here's the thing. I don't have a lot of time to play these kind of games in order to get where my character is good enough to really care. And sadly, this is the first time where a video game problem really relates to the person itself.
My problem is the online part of it.
Like, the online, that's the whole game, first of all.
Well, I'm saying because I can't play when I'm away from the house.
Yeah. The online aspects, that is a pretty big problem, but that's kind of inbuilt to the genre. I don't really think that's a problem. It's an expectation.
Yeah.
My problem is that I come home at 5 and I have 5 hours on a normal work day. Am I really going to sit there and grind those hours away to get one more level on an MMO?
Probably not.
Sadly not. I would love MMOs if I could just be young again. I played a lot of them pre-YouTube. I did that a lot with RTS. I played a lot of Civ. But once you have a job, unless that's all you want to do, which it is not for me, I love all form of video games, I can't do it no more. The only ones I can't do is RTS. Regular strategy games, sure. But I've never been good at RTS, and now I just can't stand the genre because I can't get away with playing it so much.
Right.
But now I'm just going back to RTS. Let's move forward. Shifting over to simulation video games, there are two kinds I can think of. There is your reality sims, you know, fly a plane, driving, like in Driver. I guess you could say that GTA is a crime simulator, you know, you're as real can get stuff. What do I have a problem with? When it becomes not fun. Honestly, simulators are one of those things where if you are one specific kind of person, reality sims can make you smile. Like, I love me that train sim that I played on Twitch a long time ago, and I still occasionally dabble into it. But I don't like Microsoft Flight Sim. Mm-hmm. I don't want to control a plane. And to be honest, it's dull as dishwater to me. Mm-hmm. Sadly, this is a problem that is once again tied to a player more than the game. Most good sims will just control perfectly. Everything's perfect mm-hmm. because they were made to be that way. But if you don't care about flying a plane or never wanted to, just skip. Just skip whatever you don't think you wanted to do in real life with reality sims. The other one is something like Goat Simulator, Stardew Valley. These looser to reality ones are where I like it. You know, how would it be if we lived in a world of Stardew Valley? It would be pretty fun, wouldn't it? There's no aging. You get to go and blow shit up if you want. You can go kill stuff in a dungeon. Or you can just have a nice little farm. Nice little farm. Little grandmas like
Evelyn
and George. There's Harvest Moon. You know, there's lots of these. But my generic complaint among them is content. Yeah. I've seen some that have nothing you can do that goes towards anything. Like, raising the crops is towards getting money, and getting money is getting towards the end of the game.
Right.
And that's the concept, you know? Some of them, raising crops and selling them is the end all beat all. I hate that. Give us something for doing those things, or don't do it at all.
Right.
Puzzle games.
You know more about that than I do.
The rest of these that we're going to be covering are the kinds of games we love. A lot of our favorite genres are right here. Simulation being with Stardew Valley means that it was included on this as well. Puzzle has a really big issue when it comes to logistics. Your block falling puzzle games are always fun, but the control can break them pretty easily. Understanding puzzles and stuff like Phoenix Wright and stuff like that, maybe Professor Layton, those kind of games have a directionless problem here and there, but puzzles are a subjective form of video game. They're the most of, like, you probably won't enjoy this. If you're not a puzzle person, don't play puzzle games. The only puzzle game I would recommend to a non-puzzle playing person is something more like the Blockfallers. You know, your Tetris, your Puyo Puyo, you know, Soika game, or Suka game. I actually don't know how to say that, but it's really fun. Those kind of games are for non-puzzling puzzlers. But as for real traditional puzzles, like Sudoku and stuff on mobile and stuff, they're great for time killers. They help your brain and all that. But again, clarity. It all falls down to, could this be done by a person? And weirdly, we go back to point-and-click adventure games. It has a lot of its problems. So, sadly, even though Tetris is one of my favorites of all time, this is one where I can't clarify what I mean very much, right. But I think the hint is obvious, so we're going to move on. First-person shooters. Okay, now we're getting into something that we can both really talk about.
I don't really have much bad to say about a first-person shooter.
Yeah, but as this is a list of things that can break easily, team discussion and controls.
Yeah.
Remember how I said there was going to be a number one that can break? At least with fighting games, the controls breaking, you could technically mash to win.
Right.
Here in first-person shooters, especially online ones where there's deathmatch, controls are the most paramount of all video game controls.
Right.
Your game will fail. Outright unplayable the second you have a problem in your control scheme. Wonder why Call of Duty has stood the test of time for so long? It is because they have great controls.
I love Call of Duty.
It is quick, it is snappy, and if the online lag is not a problem, it's only just better. Now, this is another one where I can't really say as much as I'd like to, but first-person shooters, there's a myriad of other balance issues and stuff. But is it too gritty in reality is a problem for me specifically. Doom is my favorite shooter of all time. It's a first person. It's very old and antiquated, but I love Deathmatch. I love it. I really do. The rare times I got to play Doom with another person and shooting them in the face, just like GoldenEye or Perfect Dark, that's where I love playing against others on the couch. We don't get that no more. It's sad. And I have a permanent player too. I don't have that problem no more. But damn, is it an annoying problem. Platformer. Ooh. The stomping grounds of Sonic and Mario.
My
the
favorite video Mario. Game
giants. And the thing in which brought us back up out of the ashes of the video game crash. Super Mario 1. Platformers.
I have a lot
of There's a
wrong
myriad
them.
Of problems that can happen, and none of them happen in Mario games. Now, Mario has its own problem that we'll get into at the end of the platformer discussion. Right. What is your first problem with platformers that can happen?
My biggest problem is the platform can be too far away.
Yeah. Spacing and placement. That is what I was hoping you would say. Here's the thing. Just having a flat level with an enemy.
Right.
What would be the point? You can jump over it.
Right.
You can kill it. Just make it interesting. Build. That's all platforming is. It's building platforms. And platforming challenges that we want to do. 2D or 3D platformers have that problem. And I don't get how it's so easy to screw up.
Nobody wants a platform that's so easy that you can just jump through it.
Crappy jumping. I cannot believe that I can say that jumping is a problem in platformers even today. But if the jumping sucks, then you might as well just put the controller down and never do it. Because that platformer sucks. I guess I could say the controls are a pretty big importance to a platformer. Especially precision platformers like Super Meat Boy. Maybe Cyobon Action, also known as Cat Mario. Rage platformers. You know, Bloody Trapland.
Yeah.
All of those are built on the concept of good controls and precise platforming and carefully crafted levels. Always handcraft levels. That's all you gotta do with a platform. Moving on. Survival games. Here we're going to not talk too much because, you know, the sandbox covered most of the problems.
Right.
But more specific to survival games is direction. Why am I doing this? Is it to build a house? Is it to discover secrets, like in Stranded Deep or Subnautica.
Or fend off zombies.
Fend off zombies. Make us have a point. Don't just say, here's a world, you can chop down trees.
Right.
Believe it or not, you would think that that wouldn't be a very big problem.
But it
That seems
is.
Obvious, but I've seen survival game after survival game feel pointless out the gate.
Right.
None of the examples of good ones that you're thinking of will ever fall under this, but I have been to the bottom of the barrel, so has Brits, and we are both unimpressed with the concept. So moving on to our final genre of the day. Party games. Now, this one would include Mario Party, Wii Sports, and other family style stuff. I'm going to include board game video games here too.
And my biggest problem is timing.
Timing to get everyone together.
Right.
That is a player bound problem, but the bigger one attached to the normal games. Accessibility, ease of fun, ease of learning how to play. Do not make a party game where it's hard for grandma to pick up the controller.
Right.
Wii Sports is the pinnacle concept. And I know by some people's standards, Wii Sports is bare bones. That is the point. Right. A lot of people don't realize this game was made to be everyone's video game. And it's the closest to world harmony in video game form I can think of. Everyone loves bowling.
I love bowling.
Even if you can't play it, you would want to. You can't just go to a bowling alley. In fact, some of them are pretty damn sketchy, dangerous, etc.
Plus, a lot of them you gotta, like, book in advance.
Pay for it. When, if you have a Wii sitting around, Wii Sports. I know I'm talking a lot about Wii Sports. That's pretty much all I got to say about this one. What have we learned during all of these talks of problems in video games? Carefully concept your genre. That is what I think comes from this talk, is don't shut your eyes to problems. If you think it could even slightly be a problem and you're making a game, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Late games are only bad for a little while waiting for them. But release games that can't be fixed or need patched, people may hate them forever.
Yeah.
A late game is better than a bad one. Either way, this has been The Self-Center. My name has been John.
And I've been Britt.
Tune in next time for another fun concept to talk about. Catch you later on The Self-Center.
Peace.